Welcome back to the 5x5. It's your host David, and it's the 5x5 late night show. Thank you guys for joining me. I wasn't gonna do anything tonight, but I was not really tired because I got a lot of sleep today. A lot of sleep today. So I said, what the hell? I'll hang out for a little bit on Spreaker and chit chat a little bit about whatever. One thing in particular I thought was really, really funny, and about dogs and pooping. I didn't think I would ever say poop on my show. Interesting. Who knew? But I hope you guys are doing okay. I've had not only a relaxing day and a drama-free day. I got to have, again, like last week I was telling you guys, I got to have some grown-up entertainment. That always comes out really, really bad. It always sounds like I'm, like, hiring a prostitute or something, or going to a porn movie house or something like that. A porn theater. I said movie house. That's old school. But that's not the case. I just get to go out and hang out with my friends. Earlier today, a friend of mine, she was celebrating her big 4-0, and today's her actual birthday. She went out of town. She was in Nashville this weekend to celebrate, but she wanted to celebrate with me. And this is the person we have been friends and friendly throughout the years. I've been knowing her probably since 2014 now. Probably since 2000. Wow, longer than that. I was ready to say 2006, but I moved to Atlanta in 2006, so I've been knowing her since probably 2002, so that's about 12 years. Wow, time flies. And yeah, that'd be right, because she wasn't pregnant. Anyhow, I'm thinking out loud. And so we've been friends. We used to work together, And she's a white lady. She's a white female, grown woman. She's always, you know, dated ethnic men, but not a problem. But she's just always been that girl, and I enjoy her. She's kind of hood, but it's good on her. It just works because she's always been part of the scene. But she's a good girl, good mom. And the last time I seen her, that we actually spoke, because of course I lived in Atlanta for a long time, and you know, not that we lost contact. I just wasn't in town to hang out and do stuff, or we didn't work together anymore because I wasn't here. And I seen her a few months ago at Walmart of all places, and we always, you know how you always tell people, let's do something, let's hang out, we should do something together, we you know. And I've had friends, even friends I've seen more recently than her, that are closer friends to me than her, say, oh, call me. I'm like, no, you call me, because I will call you. If this is going to be your plan and you want to do it, then you call me. If you're telling me no, you call me. And so of course they never do, but anyhow, and she actually didn't call. She sent me a message earlier today on Facebook. She's like, do you want to go out and have a birthday drink with me? I need to laugh. And I was like, okay. She always has an entourage with her, and I'm like, well, of course, you know, I don't mind one way or the other. But I was still, you know, on the fence about it, because hadn't shaved, and I hadn't really planned on leaving the house today. But I'm like, you know what? This is what you said you wanted to do. I'm so involved in taking care of my mother, helping my sister out and with work. I never take time. The only time I have for myself is the time I spend here on Spreaker or any talk show or whatever, and watching television. And to me, that's not much of a life. You know, especially when like I said, you spend so much time doing stuff for other people. You just think you need to take time, a break, to do something for yourself. So every week, at least I'm gonna try. Tomorrow, I think I'm hanging out with my niece, but every week I'm gonna at least try to hang out or do something for myself, whether it is go to the movies or just kind of chill or whatever. I'm gonna do something for myself that's actually fun. So she invited me out to go have this birthday drink with her. Now here I think she's having a party or whatever. There's gonna be people there, and I show up, and there's this place is called Shomies, which is it's the booty equivalent to Hooters. And I've only been to this restaurant one other time in my life, and I forgot how horrible it was, like food wise. It was kind of gross. And I'm like, why do people go here? Because I wanted to know. I'm like, seriously, do people really come to this place to eat and hang out? Because it didn't seem all that hot to me. But I'm like, that's her birthday. I'm assuming go. So I went, and so I'm looking. I didn't see her. Actually, I grabbed another one of my girlfriends. I'm like, I said, you need to get out of the house. Let's go have a drink. I said, and then plus you can meet somebody new. And I love meeting new people. If you guys don't know that, I love meeting new people. And so anyhow, and so she rolled with, and we go out there to the Shomies. And these girls, when I tell you, booties, they have those like them satin Wonder Woman, satin tights, on like the nude ones that you can, like your looks like your skin. They had those on, and there was booties hanging out and stuff. And these girls are the girls that I say get rejected from Hooters, because not that anybody has to look a particular way, but these girls, come on, seriously, and I'm trying to be funny. I'm talking to them, ordering my drink, and they're like, oh, you're gay, you ain't trying to give us no tips, because you look at it, because yeah, a gay man, even though I like Hooters food, but I haven't been to Hooters in probably 15, 20 years. Wow, that shows my age. And but they're very, very young, and they all look very, very lost. And I remember telling my friend, I'm like, they look really lost. They look kind of sad, because it was Tuesday night. And obviously, here in town, nobody does anything on Tuesday night because this place was dead. But anyhow, I got to hang out with my friend and have a birthday drink with her, so it was fun. I got to make fun of the hoot, not the anti-Hooters girl, the booty girls, show me girls. And I got to do that, so that was kind of fun. I had a return shirt. I did get to go do some shopping. I still haven't found the right shoes that I want, and I was like, I need some shoes. But I went shopping the other day, and I took back a shirt. I'm an off the rack shopper. I don't try on stuff. I don't got time for all that. But I. And for some reason I feel like there's somebody behind the mirror in the dressing room watching me. Not like that. I know it's weird, but I get some really cute pants. They're a little too long, but I like them. I'm gonna wear them. And the shirt, how it looks good on the clothes hanger. It looked like it fit, even though it fit and it was snug, but it was a good fit. It just didn't look right on, just the way it was made. Sometimes you can't buy clothes from like Burlington and Marshalls and Ross Dress for Less and what's the other one? TJ Maxx. Sometimes you can't buy clothes there because you just can't. Because they're regulars, and I need some underwear, really, and some socks. But I took a shirt back, and I was like, I don't want to shop. And my friend, I picked her out some really, really, really cute shoes, and she bought them. I'm like, well, you should listen to me. So that was it. That was my day today. Like I said, I hope you guys are doing fine. You can always check us out on Twitter at the 5x5 or our Blogspot blog, the 5x5.blogspot.com, or on facebook.com/the5x5, completely spelled out. And since, oh, I haven't been on Mixlr in a while because I'm doing a lot of the drive episodes over there, but they're over here, but they're live on Mixlr at times. Oh, and if you want to take me with you, you want to download it to your iOS iOS device. Spit it out, David. The 5x5 late night show is on Twitter, so just type in the 5x5 late night, and that should pull us up. You'll see my lovely face. We'll be right back.
Exercise is hard. So is maintaining a healthy diet. Of course, neither is half as hard as dying. Sadly, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke kill nearly a million people a year. Even sadder, most of these deaths are preventable with a few lifestyle changes, including regular activity, healthier eating, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. And if your doctor recommends lifestyle changes or medication, listen. The reason so many die is because not enough are willing to change. You can stop it, starting right now. It's your life. Listen to your doctor. Eat better. Get moving. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
Chocolate box.
think it's the very, very first time I've ever played that song completely. I actually like it. I like the beat. It's kind of fun. Anyhow, welcome back to the 5x5 Late Night Show. I was watching something on TV. I'm your host, David, and we're just kind of chit-chatting and hanging out and killing some time. What I should be doing, I don't know if you guys watch House of Cards. I've been hearing so much about this show and how it started this season. Well, I guess what I don't like, I don't even know, I guess I kind of like it. You know how they do, like Netflix, when they do their original shows, they'll put every last one of them, all the episodes, like with Hemlock Grove and now House of Cards, there's another one. They'll put all the episodes on at one time, like how many of they have, like 1 to 10 or 8 or whatever they are, and they'll do all of them. So I guess you can watch them all, but then there's nothing to look forward to, because if you have some time, you watch an episode a night, and there's only like 8 episodes, that's only a week and a day. But anyhow, I started watching House of Cards last night, and I found that it was pretty interesting. I enjoyed it. It's one of those things. I was kind of falling asleep. I watched the first episode, and I started the second one. So I'm probably going to watch the second one over, because I was falling asleep, and I was like, "Yeah, I won't have to watch this again because I'm falling asleep." So I don't remember. I know it's toward the end, and I did catch a lot of it, but I'll rewatch the last 20 minutes or something like that. Anyhow, so we was talking about my day today. I had a really good weekend though at work. And why I don't understand, I've talked to you guys about my coworkers and my work and my job and stuff 1,000 times on my show, but why my coworkers are still coming for me. And I've told them, if you listen to the Black Ice episode, I talked about it a little bit on that episode. I've told them, don't y'all, you can't come for me because I'm gonna do my job. And just because you don't, I hate when people, they get mad because you do your job. And if you do your job well, and they know they can't do the same job that you do, all I want out of you is do the best job that you can. Because I know a lot of times some of the job that they're doing is not the best job. And I mean things, it's like simple stuff, something that you would tell your teenage son or daughter, like to teach them a life lesson. If you do it this way, it'll work every time, it'll be correct. But then again, it's responsible. Somebody's paying you to do this, and so they all have issue with me, and but they're all breaking laws and things. So I'm dealing with that, and I was kind of glad, because that kind of drama. But my work, what I did beside the employees, it I had a good weekend. It went really, really fast, and it was decent. Still, if you listen to the Fanboy Weekly episode, I'm still trying to find the Lois, the Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane issue number 106. I've called a lot of places. I want to go back to the comic book store the other day because the guy really didn't know. The one guy said he didn't have it, which I won't believe him, but he's an asshole anyhow. But there's a couple stores in town that are like that people wouldn't go. And I want to try a flea market. Maybe next weekend I'll be able to go to a flea market and look for this particular comic. Anyhow, first up, this is why I named the podcast today The North Poop, because I didn't think I'd ever say poop on my podcast, but I did. And about dogs, and I really have never watched my dog in particular. And the article I found on news.discovery.com, and if you go to animals/pets/dogs, the HTML address is dogs have a butt compass. So what the article was talking about, how dogs always, I would say all always, I stuttered, always, the majority of time dogs will poop facing north. Now, if I can recall the time, not that I sit up there and watch my dog poop, because I think it's totally gross, because my fence from my backyard, it's on the north side of my property, and so my dog is in a dog pen in the back, and he always poops facing the pen. And then he turns towards me and then he kicks his poop. I'm like, don't do that. I gotta clean that up. But anyhow, regardless of that, they always, most of the time, they poop no facing north. And the reason why, there is a study. Scientists at Czech University of Life and Sciences in Prague have found that, like other animals, dogs are sensitive to the Earth's magnetism. Dogs prefer to do their duty, quote unquote, with their bodies aligned along the north and south axis, particularly under calm magnetic. I can't even talk tonight. Particularly under calm magnetic field conditions. In a study published in the Frontiers of Zoology, the magnetic field can fluctuate, and I can't help it. The author says, I can't help but wonder if it's on those unstable days that my dog circles around and around like a house fly on a windowsill. So when your dog is out there trying to do its business, it's looking around, it's trying to align itself. With the magnetic fields, which I think I'm like, wow, that's kind of interesting. So I don't know, what they did. Supposedly, they use 70 dogs, 37 different breeds, and they observed the number ones and the number twos over a 2 year period of time. So I don't know exactly how they did it. And after they sorted the data to the geomagnetic conditions, among other technical variables, the team concluded that dogs were predictably sensitive to Earth magnetism and showed sensitivity to changes in polarity rather than intensity of the magnetic field. So the next time your dog poops, take note of the direction and report back. I thought that was interesting because I had never paid much attention to that. I'm like, huh, that could be cute. No, it can't be cute. That's interesting. Why did I say cute? I don't know. Good place to take a break. We'll be back.
Came home. You see, she was educated through urban exploitation and graduated with honors.
And now she's homeless, left with brokenness.
The streets ain't worth the hurt they come. Let me tell you. So well spoken, they serve as tokens used to purchase a moment. And she's no wiser, insecurities tend to blind her, while reality seems to find her.
And now she's homeless.
Medicates heavily,
and now she's homeless, left with brokenness.
the drugs ain't worth the hurt they cause. Let me tell you who you are.
Black, black beauty, beautiful. My body and soul, and everywhere in between. Ain't that what you see? Black, black beauty,
such a precious gift
to behold.
I'm singing this just to let you know
that God made you.
So you're beautiful.
Preserve to endure.
That's what you are, a reflection of his love. So don't be
hopeless. Let go of brokenness.
Let it go, let it go. And remember who you are.
And we're back. It's the 5x5 Late Night Show. I'm your host, David. And we're just chatting. And I don't know what else. I must be having some baby strokes because I'm not reading very well tonight. I don't know what's going on. Maybe, I don't know. I only had 2 cocktails tonight. So I don't know if that, but that was a long time ago. So surely that's not. But anyhow, welcome back. Thank you guys for listening. Check out my friend Dwayne Hadley from the Dwayne Hadley Radio Network. Dwayne puts on really good podcasts. He also does a sports show. So check him out here on Spreaker.com and also on iHeartRadio. So did you guys hear about the controversy surrounding the Jamaican bobsled team? And when I heard it, I thought it was really kind of silly. Obviously, the other day, the Jamaican bobsled team were part of their outfits were helmets with watermelon motifs painted on them. Now, you know, here in America, historically, watermelons being used to defame black people is a sensitive subject, you know, because that's like a stereotype. And for a lot, my thing is, it didn't even bother me because I don't eat watermelon at all. I think it's totally gross. I tried it and I can't even take the smell of it. I don't like any melon, but I'm like, ugh, whatever. But and so. The bobsled team of two, their names was Winston Watts and Marvin Dixon, which their country exports, which is Jamaica, sugar, bananas, coffee, rum. They put on these watermelon helmets, and there was a lot of people making negative connotations about, oh, they have watermelon helmets, they have fried chicken shoes, stuff like that. For them, for Jamaicans, they don't have that sensitivity that, you know, for that, because it wasn't a Jamaican thing. I have one of my good friends, she's Jamaican, and when we talk about race and we talk about racism, we talk about the struggle, she doesn't have the same reference as I do because she wasn't raised here in the United States. She was, you know, raised predominantly dark-skinned Jamaica, and she doesn't have those. She has different, you know, things that she's sensitive to from coming from Jamaica, especially being gay. But regardless of that, she doesn't have the racial stigma that a lot of us black people go through from being born and raised in the United States. And so we've had this conversation a few times, and I told her, I said, well, if you're born here, you just see so many racial inequities out there, and then you get a little, you don't get hardened to it, but being me, I'm, you know, in my 40s, you get over it. You get tired of being looked at as substandard, and she never felt that. And maybe that's what the thing is. If we start taking the power away from some of these races, there's so much going on Spreaker right now with these hosts. I'm a quick sidebar. There's one particular talk show host on Spreaker that's just pretty much out there with using the N-word and all that kind of crazy stuff, and he even, you know, came for me one time. But I say what I had to say, and then you know, he's the person that points all the fingers at everybody. You're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong. But as soon as you say something about him, he wants to attack you because he thinks he's funny, but he's not. And then at one point I had been drugged into this co-host drama. If you guys remember, I had some things going on with another co-host here on Spreaker, but I was like, I said what I had to say and I'm done with it. You know, that person continued to do stuff outside of what happened between us, and I was like, okay, I'm not falling for it. It is ridiculous. You're being a child. I'm not doing it. And so, this is ongoing drama. I'm like, these are adults behaving this way. And I've always kind of, not that I'm above all that, but I've always tried to carry myself above all that. And sometimes it's easy to get pulled into the drama and the hype and all that, but I try not to. So with that being said, if you don't know my struggle just because you think you know, you really don't have a lot of, you know, room to comment on what I've been through or what you think I should get over the N-word or I should get over the racial inequities. You know, you don't know what I've been through or go through. Living back in the Midwest, especially in Southern Indiana, it's been very, very difficult for me because I lived in Atlanta for so long, and I know I say it all the time, that, you know, I got used to seeing Black people of power, Black people of wealth, Black people of importance. I got used to seeing that and comfortable. My neighborhood was, we used to say, I have a brown neighborhood, you know, and we weren't the exception. We were not, I wouldn't say the rule, it was the norm. That's what I said. It was the norm, you know, to have, you know, highly densely populated Black areas, and not just the hood, and not just the projects, not just the wrong side of the tracks. It was everywhere in the more affluent neighborhoods, in the more affluent cities. You know, once you get further from the city of Atlanta, it starts to diversify a little bit more. But, you know, in my neighborhood, you know, all I seen, I've told a lot of people that. In my whole lifetime working, I never had worked with a completely Black staff. That was foreign to me. And I had some, even being a Black person, I had some culture shock working with the Black staff, because I'm like, this is new for me. Or Black people who may have had more education than me, or Black people who had a better car or made more money, or just had different life experiences that I had yet or have yet experienced yet. It was difficult for a time, but then sitting and talking to these people, I learned so much. And when I say these people that end up being my friends, because they were foreign to me. Yes, they were Black in skin color, but they were foreign to me. And I learned so much, and I'm happy that I was able to experience that, because from this area, and I tell people, people in this area, I said, you have to live outside of this area for some period of time. You can't stay in this area and think that what you're subjected to on a daily basis, or even what you see, or what you hear, that's not real. It's not real. Well, it is real in a sense, because if you're here, it's real for you, but it's not the world. It's not the world. It's not, there's so much more to who you can be and what you can accomplish. And so that for me was eye opening, and it was empowering. And I learned so much, and that's why I miss Atlanta so much. Because a friend told me when they said Atlanta will spoil you for the rest of Georgia or for the rest of the country, because it's so ethnic and it's very ethnically diverse. We're not just talking about black people. We're talking about Latinos. We're talking about Indians, Persians. We're talking, and of course, white people. They're all over. You know, it's so diversified, and it makes it better. You know, I have issue, like tonight when I was out, I didn't mean for this to be a black show, but I guess it's kind of turned into that. I have other things to talk about. But I was out when I went out to my friend's little birthday cocktail. You know, me and my friend were the only black people in the establishment. I have issue with that. It's not because they didn't want us there. It's just because there's not enough black people here. Is the population, I'm sure it's the ethnic community here is probably 2% in this area, you know. So I went from what, 75% to 2%, you know. So it's been a readjustment, not much of a culture shock, because I've lived this life before, longer than I lived in Atlanta, and it's just an adjustment. But I just think about how sad, because I don't get that, like the radio doesn't play the kind of music that I like, you know. It is either country or hard rock or top 40, which they don't play a lot of top 40 because there's a lot of ethnic music on top 40 radio. You know, the black radio station in town is on AM. You know, it's so, you know, and then you don't see a lot today, which is really interesting. Even though I live in a predominantly black area of town, my particular block, it's very diverse. I think it's more white people on my blog than black people. And this is in the ethnic part of town. And but my neighbor across the street today, the first time this person's ever spoke to me, is a Latino. And he spoke to me today. I'm like, well, we should speak more. You know, I don't know why we don't. But you know, sometimes you talk a lot of black people. We can act a fool, right? No, I'm being funny. But like I said, I had a lot of things to adjust with coming back here. And my friend that was with me tonight, she lived in an area that was higher population of black people. And she said, yeah, it's just different. She said, the only time you see a lot of black people here in this area is when you go to church. You know, and that's unfortunate, because and thing is, I like all kind of people. You know, I have and this is not the coined, I have a lot of white friends. I just do. You know, I have a lot of white friends. I was raised in this area pretty much all my life, and I lived here for a long time, you know. But I just like the young lady I met tonight, I said, I just like meeting new people, you know, and I get her perspective because she had lived in Denver, Colorado, after she got out of high school. And she's like, yeah, that's a different area. She's like, but it still is not the Midwest. The Midwest is something special. You know, there's a special kind of racism that goes on here. And it's almost, I think people give up. It's almost, they use the phrase, it's just the way it is. And I think that's my biggest problem with this area, because I'm always telling somebody, you can't treat me this way. You can't say this to me. Who do you think? I'm always saying that to somebody who doesn't look like me, because they think they can disrespect me on principle alone. And I'm like, no, you can't, you know. So that's my little spiel about racism and race in this particular area. But anyhow, back to the bobsled team, Winston Watts and Marvin Dixon. And they were talking about the negative core that the watermelons kind of represent, are the negative chords that it proposes to black Americans. But a little quick history lesson: the watermelon stereotype got its roots back during slavery times, when blacks in this country were viewed as mindless creatures. Whites assumed that all slaves pined for was not freedom, but just some shade and cool watermelon to eat. They believed blacks were simpletons with an unusual affinity for watermelon, and so the fruit became a key symbol in the iconography. I guess I said that wrong. Iconography. A racism in the United States. According to black sports duo to the bobsled team, watermelon is not a thing, like I told you before, in their homeland, so they had no hesitation about sporting the helmets. I think somebody was trying to be cute and they were like, put these helmets on, that'd be real funny. You know, whoever your agent is or your people, they did it on purpose. But they didn't win, and so that's you should see the picture. Actually, I had to put a link to this picture. I'm gonna save it because this is it's not funny, but it is funny. so you guys can see the mess that's on this picture. But I got that from news1.com. So let's see. Well, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. And tonight I am going to take a quiz about what 80s song am I, or group. I think that's what it is. We'll see. We're right back.
Switch it up. And when
Switch it, switch it, switch it. That was Tinashe with Stunt. I like that song. I Ain't That Bitch. I like that. Anyhow, welcome back. It's the 5x5, and I'm your host, David, and this is our late night show. Well, we're talking about a little bit of everything. I got off on a tangent, forgive me, about, I would say regional racism, how it's different in different parts of the country for me, part of the countries that I visited or lived in. And so you can go back and listen to that if you guys choose. But I thank you guys for listening whenever, wherever, however you're accessing the show. I do appreciate it. Like I said, never thought that this show would be, not that I think it's really extremely popular. I at least have 40 to 50 people listening per show. Now per week it's like maybe 100, well it's more than that because I have more than one show a week. It'd be like 80 to 90, maybe 150, I don't know, but thank you. I'm saying thank you because I do appreciate that. If you guys checking me out and letting me ramble. And so, you know, I always find some kind of crazy quiz to do during a show. And today's quiz comes, from BuzzFeed. I guess BuzzFeed does all the quizzes. And this quiz is titled, Which 80s Song Are You? And so I would like to think that my 80s song, I don't know if this is part of the list that they come up with, but I would think that my 80s song would be something by Janet Jackson, either The Pleasure Principle or Control or Nasty, because that was pretty the only artist that I listened to in the 80s was Janet Jackson. Yeah, I don't think there was no one else. Toni Braxton a little bit. When I was in high school, I remember that was late 80s. Another sad love song, Breathe Again. But Janet Jackson was my artist of choice. Or maybe even that one hit by Jody Watley. Y'all remember her? I need to do a Where Are They Now show. but anyhow, so which 80s song are you? It's safe to say that we'll never get sick of talking about the 80s or listening to those sweet, sweet tunes. Take this quiz to find out which precious melody from that decade is your anthem. And for more opportunities to celebrate the best 10 years in history, catch up with 80s obsessed Sean and Gus on Psych Wednesdays. That's a commercial. They played me on that one. Okay, the first question is, when you were young, what song did your mother sing to you as a lullaby? Can we skip one? Because I'm gonna have to choose a song that I like, because none of these songs. This quiz is absurd. No shade. This quiz is made for a white person. Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic by The Police. American Pie by Don McLean. I never heard that song. Oh, I guess Bye Bye, Miss American Pie. Singing in the Rain from that movie about being Gary. And You're the One That I Want from Grease. I'm going to choose You're the One That I Want from Grease because I do remember liking that movie a lot as a kid. But my mom wasn't singing that. My mom was probably singing me an Ashford and Simpson song. It was probably Stay Free. If there's one song I can remember from the late 70s, early 80s, that my mother, or Peaches and Her reunited, or Shake Your Groove thing, those are the kind of songs my mama sung to me. Not none of that mess. But anyhow, when cell phone ringtones were cool, what did you make yours? Call on Me by Eric Prydz, Over the Rainbow by somebody, American Woman by Lenny Kratz, and Hungry Like a Wolf by Duran Duran. Since the only song I really know is American Woman by Lenny Kravitz, and he's cute, this is going to be so inaccurate. What is your favorite 80s movie? Okay. Out of these, we have Fatal Attraction, Footloose, Full Metal Jacket, The Karate Kid. Out of all those four, it would have to be The Karate Kid with Ralph Macchio. Ralph Macchio's grown up. He looks kind of old, though. There's a box in your parents' garage with your name written on it. What's inside? Sketches of the invention I still have invented. Poems I wrote for loved ones. Clothes from when I was way fatter than I am now. Dog tags my friends and I made at the mall. It would have to be clothes, for not because I'm fatter than I was then, because that's not the case. Number five, when you go to a house party, what do you typically do? I still go to house parties occasionally. Not a lot of my friends have them here, but I have. Keep a watchful eye on my ex, who is 2 seconds away from begging me for taking back. working up a sweat by grinding on the karaoke machine. Make sure everyone knows how great our far brothers were. Console someone who was just dumped by telling them that their soulmate could be in the room. I had to say consoling someone. Yeah, this is a bad quiz. Don't take this one. What's your idea of a great workout? Fighting for freedom and the preservation of our children's futures. Recreating the opening scene from Flashdance. Convincing others never to give up hope. Configuring an app that records calls and installing it without anyone knowing it. Oh, that's cute. Let's go with that one. That's supposed to be a workout. 7. You're making a playlist for what's going to be a really long road trip. What's the first song you put on it? I'm going to be 500 Miles by the Proclaimers, Bootylicious by Destiny's Child. Y'all know this one. Party in the USA by Miley Cyrus, Life is a Highway by Tom Cochran. This is the question that they figure out what kind of music you like so they can choose the right answer. Everybody knows, because they did that with the last, remember the last quiz I did, and one of the answers was Drunken Love by Beyonce. So, of course, I'm going to choose Bootylicious. It's Friday night, and you just finished up a long week. What's for dinner? Firing up the grill. Dinner. Who eats dinner? What's ever left in the leftover in the fridge? 5 courses, candles, and ambiance. Long week dinner. Probably what's left in the fridge. What was your favorite after school activity? Games of dodgeball, detention. Couldn't believe I had to go back the next day. I was probably getting touched by a hot girl on the subject. I didn't actually need tutoring. I have to say, I couldn't believe I had to go back the next day, because even though I liked school, I hated it at the same time, but for not for the educational reasons, for the people I went to school with. The last question, number 10, what were you doing in the 80s? Hoping my parents were going to get back together, chain smoking and drinking, getting born, jazzercising alone. Well, let's choose old Richard, because, you know, I was born in 71. Actually, this is one of my favorite songs. This is one of my favorite songs. So, let's take a quick break, and then I'll give you my answer. We'll be right back.
Love, the electrifying formula between two people with feelings, deep, charismatic, compelling, creating a union that is telling, shining a light, shedding a glow, feeling your soul. From love arises a booming energy, sending the world a message in a bottle. There is more to show. As the love grows and kicks into full throttle, the fused unit produces a message that becomes a more powerful whole, even more powerful than the love in full.
We go here. Until we see
we take stands, 'cause we know our time is short. We make the best of what we bought, but tell me
like that. That's kind of groovy. Welcome back. It's the 5x5 Late Night Show. I'm your host, David. And like I said, I've just been kind of babbling. Just took a quiz. Which 80s song are you? And after several questions that really didn't apply to me, none of them actually, maybe except for the Bootylicious one, my which 80s song are you is You Are Physical. Actually, I love that song because, and here's the thing, that was the first real image that you see, and I guess you have to give props to Olivia Newton-John. She was really progressive, or whoever had the idea for the video. You know, the guys start out as kind of heavy, or fat. For lack of a better term, working out in the gym, and she's singing, she's helping him work out, and then all of a sudden when she goes to take a shower, she comes back in, and there are all these muscle model, you know, 70s porno looking guys. I don't think this song was probably very, it's like 81 or 82. Yeah, it had to be very early 80s. And then at the very end, all the really, really hot guys that were working out in Speedos, they all paired off together in a gay scene. And then she pulls out one of the heavy guys and they walk out together. But what was funny, it says, look at you, all sexy and stuff. Richard Simmons will be proud, but seriously, go easy on the shaming people at the gym routine. It's not nice. Yeah, that's totally not me. we tried it. That's all I can say. The other night, I talked about the coming out of Ellen Page on my Fanboy Weekly show, and she... you know, she's the actress of Juno, and she's going to be in the upcoming X-Men Days of Future Past movie. And so she came out, and I want to let you guys listen to part of the speech she gave at the HRC Time to Thrive conference.
It saves lives. Then again, it can be the hardest thing. Because loving other people starts with loving ourselves and accepting ourselves. And I know many of you have struggled with this. And I draw upon your strength and your support in ways that you will never know. And I am here today because I am gay. And because... I can make a difference to help others have an easier and more hopeful time. Regardless, for me, I feel a personal obligation and a social responsibility. I also do it selfishly because I'm tired of hiding and I'm tired of lying by omission. I suffered for years because I was scared to be out. My spirit suffered. My mental health suffered. And my relationship suffered. And I'm standing here today with all of you on the other side of that pain. And I am young, yes.
That was Ellen Page. Coming out at the HRC Time to Thrive conference, she gave an awesome speech. It was an 8-minute speech. If you go to the blog at the 5x5.blogspot.com, you'll be able to see the whole speech in its entirety. It was really, really nice and very emotional. She got a lot of negative feedback, but Anne Rice came to her defense, and also a lot of other celebrities came to her, not to her defense, to say it's okay and that we support you. So kudos to Ellen Page. So I think we're getting close to wrapping up for tonight. There was something else I was going to talk about, but I can't remember what it was. I think that's it. Been kind of watching. This is why the show probably sucks tonight, because I've been kind of watching this kind of show with Jackie Chan and Jet Li and some chick, and there, I thought it was like Drunken Master, but I don't think that's what it was. Anyhow, but I thank you guys for checking me out. Thanks, guys, for listening. Like I said, it's going to be a very brief show tonight. Normally do like about 75 minutes, so this is right at an hour. Check out the blog. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. Like me on Facebook. We'll probably be back tomorrow with something else to talk about. Maybe we'll get a live episode between my niece and I tomorrow. Oh, and it's going to be crazy warm tomorrow. We went from having all kind of crazy ice last week, and it's going to be 60 and 70 for the next couple days. I mean, seriously? Climate change is real. Believe that. Alright guys, I'm here, you're here, we're here. It's the 5x5 late night show, and we're going to see you guys next time. Good night.